Heavenly Father, God, I just want to thank you for your incredible love for us. Love that took Jesus to a cross. Lord, thank you that we are all this morning on a level playing field before you, God, that there is nothing any of us could have done or can ever do to earn your love. God, that there are none of us who are going to be good enough or make enough good choices or be talented enough to somehow deserve your love, God, that it is out of who you are that you have this incredible, radical love for us, God, and you adopt us into your family when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, God. Lord, I pray this morning for all of us that as our act of worship, Lord, more than anything else this morning, help us to be surrendered to you, Lord, in all that we are this morning, in our thoughts, in our hearts, Lord, in our self-identity and in the way that we view you, God, and everything. Help us to be surrendered to you, knowing that when we come before you with honesty, God, that you help to change us into who you made us to be, that you make us more like our Savior. And that's our desire this morning, God. You would use your word, that your Holy Spirit would take your word this morning and apply it to your people and make us more like you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today is the last day on the series of messages that I've titled, Would Christ Be Welcome in Your Home? And the message today I titled, Christ in Your Home. You know, the Bible is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And the Jesus of the Bible, the living Word revealed through the written Word, the Jesus of history, the Jesus who is the Son of God, Jesus who is King of Kings, who is Lord of Lords, that same Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit is present in your life. And in my life today. And we need that. We need more than anything. We need his presence. I need his presence. My family needs his presence. And no matter who you are today coming in here, whether you are somebody who has been, since the creation of the wheel, you've been a holy roller, or if you are a new believer, or you're coming in as somebody who maybe isn't quite sure about Jesus, and you've heard about him for a long time, and you just don't know what to think of him. But no matter where you are, I'm telling you this morning, you need him in your life. Not as a theology, not as a religious figure. You need the reality of the presence of Jesus Christ in your life, and so do I. You need him in your home. You need him in your marriage. You need him in your family. You need him in your marriage-to-be, if you're single. Wherever you are, you need him. And you need him for in a multitude of ways, but there is no life without him. There is no hope without him. There is no change for you without him. There's no, and I can tell you, I mean, I know myself enough, and I know most of you well enough to know that everybody here today needs a miracle in some way. Everybody here needs a miracle in some way in their life. And there's no miracle apart from the presence of Jesus. And so we need him. And as we read the Bible, as he speaks to us through the scriptures, and as we receive it in faith, as we respond in obedience, as we get to know the Lord more and begin living out this relationship more and more with him, he works through that to change us. He works through the miracles that he does in our lives to strengthen our faith and to mold us more and more to being who he really wants us to be as his sons and daughters. And so, you know, as we engage the scriptures, as we're about to do this morning, we're going to look at Mark, a little bit of chapter 1, more in chapter 2 this morning, if you want to go ahead and turn to the book of Mark. As we come across these stories and these truths that are revealed in Scripture for a reason. It's not just so that we would have nice feelings about the person of Jesus, but that we would encounter him, that we would personally encounter who he is, that he would speak to us through the Scriptures. As we see Jesus teaching to a crowd on a mountainside, it's not just so that we hear a nice story about Jesus teaching, it's so that he would speak to us through what we're reading there. As we see the miracles that he did, it so that we would know, that we would know and believe he can do that in my life. As lost as I may feel sometimes, as stupid as I can be at times, no matter what mistakes I make, if he can do a miracle for the folks that I read about in the Bible, he can do a miracle in my life. He can do a miracle in your life, because none of us deserve it. But he wants to do that. You know, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the disciples are on the boat and there's this storm that comes up and they are scared to death. But because Jesus is with them, Jesus is there in my storm. And the things I'm going through, some of us this morning we're just looking for the eye of the storm. There's so much storm around us. We're just looking for a momentary peace. That same Jesus is with you this morning. That same, he's not abandoned you. He hasn't. And as the disciples sit in different situations and Jesus is teaching them, and we read about that, he's doing the same thing for us every time we open up the Scriptures. He's teaching us and loving us and giving us his attention through the Scriptures. So I just want to encourage you, let him speak to you this morning. Because just like me, you need him to. So Mark chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 21. And I just want to read 21 and 22 here at first, and then 29 through 31. And that's just to help set the scene a little bit going into Mark 2. Jesus and his companions went to the town of Capernaum. When the Sabbath day came, he went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. In verse 29, after Jesus left the synagogue, he was done teaching, he left the synagogue with James and John. They went to Simon and Andrew's home. So he's with his disciples going to the home of his disciples. Verse 30, now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. He went to her bedside. He took her hand and helped her sit up. The fever left her. Talk about complete healing. She prepared a meal for them. She prepared a meal for them. That evening, I'm just going to paraphrase a little going into verse 2, or chapter 2. That evening, there were a lot of people who were sick, who family, friends were bringing them to Jesus. There were people whose minds were so overcome with darkness, it was demonic influence, they were being brought to Jesus. And Jesus was delivering people. Jesus was delivering people that nobody believed could be delivered. He was delivering people who probably themselves didn't think they could be delivered. And Jesus was setting them free. People who were afflicted in so many ways. They were bringing them, and he was healing them, and he was delivering them. And then we read that just before sunrise, Jesus left. He left the home, and he went out to a solitary place to be by himself, to pray, to commune with the Father. And the disciples, when they found out, well, where's Jesus? He's gone, and they go out looking for him, and they find him. And Jesus, instead of saying, hey, God's got a plan here, the Father's using us here to teach and to deliver, and he says, no, there's other places we need to go today. So they leave. They go out on the road a little bit. And they're traveling around this region. They're traveling around Galilee. And as they're traveling, he's preaching still. He's still teaching people. He's still casting out demons. He's still healing people. And his fame grows. Everywhere he goes, the crowds are increasing. People are bringing those who need a miracle in their life. They're coming to Jesus. So chapter 2, starting in verse 1. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, so he's going back. After several days, he returns to Capernaum. You know, probably the word doesn't say specifically, but I would guess back to the home of Simon Peter and his family. That's where he stayed when he was there just a few days before. So they go back and likely to the same home where Jesus had healed. He'd ministered to Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And news spreads quickly that he's back home. Of course, this is not Nazareth, but I mean, this is his adopted home in this stage of life. This is where he is, and so word is spreading that Jesus is back, and people know where he is. Verse 2 says, soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors, there was no more room, even outside the door. So just imagine this scene. This house is just jam-packed. The street is full of people. If there was a yard, it's full of people. I mean, there's people everywhere coming to see Jesus. And there's no more room. You know, just to state the obvious, I think that Jesus, of course, is welcome in this home. He's probably been invited back. His disciples have been with him in Galilee area. And they returned to Capernaum, and they probably... I can imagine Simon Peter or Andrew, and one of them say, hey, Jesus, let's go back to our... There's food there. There's, you know, lodging there. Let's go back to our house as we go back into town. And so just the obvious that Jesus is welcome in this place where he's staying. He's invited there. And I ponder, you know, is he always... Do I have that intentionality every day to make sure Jesus knows he's invited in my home? That Jesus is every day, am I saying, Jesus, you are welcome in my family. You are welcome in my marriage. You're welcome. Jesus, I want you here. I want you here. And of course, he's invited to this home. They'd seen the miracles that he'd done. They'd seen the healings and things. And ideally, I mean, I'm guessing in this situation, since he had done this incredible miracle before, in this home, if that's where he is in the same home, that everybody wants him there. Sometimes that's not the case in our families. Sometimes we might be the only one that are saying, Jesus, I want you here. There are times where in our home, hopefully everybody's welcoming of Jesus' presence, that he's Lord of everything and everyone in our families. You know, that's the best, but sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes it's one individual. I can think of specific times in my life, specific times in my ministry, where examples where a teenager maybe in the youth group comes to Jesus and gets saved, and the parents don't want anything to do with that. They don't want to hear about it. They're not church folk. They're not interested. But then a month or two later, mom starts coming. And she sees the love of God, she hears the truth of God preach, she hears the gospel and gets saved. And then the big shocker, after a year or so, dad starts coming, who really didn't want to hear any of this Jesus stuff. And dad gets saved. There are times where at the invitation of one person in their prayer, in their life, in their heart, saying, Jesus, today and every day, I want you here in my home. I want you here. And through that, everyone experiences a miracle in the family. You know, maybe that's you today. Maybe you've got family members that, whether they live with you or not, that you've been praying for and praying for, and you just want them to want Jesus the way you want Jesus. But we don't give up, like Ralph said earlier, you know, we persist. We continue. We trust in our prayers and keep praying for them. And if that's you today, I just want to encourage you to keep doing that, to keep praying, because God does respond to those prayers for our family that aren't inviting Him yet. I'm going to reread verse 1. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors there was no more room, even outside the door. And then it goes on, while he was preaching the word to them. While he was preaching the word to them. And I want to pause there for just a second, because Jesus doesn't just come into our families to do miracles. He doesn't just take us up on that invitation to come in and to fix stuff. He also comes in to teach us. He comes in to teach us. And we need these conversations with Jesus. He comes in to speak to us, to redirect us, to guide us, to have conversations with us. In that last phrase there in verse 2, where it says he was preaching God's word to them, you know, we could easily take that the wrong way. We could think he's doing what I'm doing. He's standing up and he's reading the word to them, or he's expounding upon the word to them and helping them to apply it. That's not what the word means here. Where it says preaching, it's a different word in the Greek. It doesn't mean that he was proclaiming the gospel message. It's a different word. The meaning here is that he's having a conversation about spiritual things. He's having conversations with them in the home, and that's part of the reason that he's there, and that's part of the reason that we invite him into our homes. We need ongoing conversations with Jesus, not just to come in and fix the crisis of the day. We need that too, to put out the fire. Absolutely. Praise God for miracles. But even just to have those, His Spirit speaking to us and teaching us and guiding us and comforting and encouraging and just all those things in conversation that He wants to do. But we need that. We not only need that personally, but you know, there's times, and I think most of you have experienced this probably, or many of us have, there are times where you're experiencing so much of the blessing of Him getting you out of the way that He's speaking through you. To where there's a family member that is feeling broken, or a friend who feels beat down, and the Holy Spirit helps you step aside enough that He's speaking what they need. That you get to be not just the hands of Jesus giving somebody a hug, but He's actually giving you the words to say what He wants to say through you. And that's part of His presence in our homes as well. When we invite Him in, Jesus, I need you to help me to shut up so that you can speak through me in our home, in my home, in my marriage, in my friendships, in my parenting, with coworkers, whatever it is, you know, wherever you are, that we need the presence of Jesus to speak to us. Not only to speak to us, but to speak through us. That's why it's so important that we don't ever get compartmentalized and think that this whole Christian thing is just about what happens here. Man, he wants to do powerful things in our homes and powerful things through us. You know, and part of the way I think we kind of set ourselves up, we position ourselves to hear from Him, part of that is through prayer, that we invite those spiritual conversations from Him. You know, hearing from the Holy Spirit, having the Lord speak to us, sometimes we, and I'll just throw out an example, you know, there's times out of frustration that emotionally I'll kind of retreat away, just, you know, trying to deal with whatever emotions, or maybe even out of fear, whatever it may be. There could be fear for a loved one, or that if you take yourself and you go run to a cave, your reception on your cell phone is not going to be very good. Heard Pastor Mark Job on Moody this week talking about hiding in caves and how we need to reposition ourselves outside the cave so we can hear from the Lord. And we do that. We do that even in our home sometimes. In our fear, in our frustration, in our unforgiveness. in not receiving forgiveness from the Lord that we need, we take ourselves out of a place of really being able to hear from Him. But there are ways in our home, just by application, even just a prayer around your dinner table, when you have friends over, when you have family there, even just, Lord, I'm so thankful for so-and-so. They're here to share a meal with us today. I'm so thankful for your goodness in my life, for this new job, for this meal. The ways that the Lord can speak to us through that and speak to other people in our homes through that, you know, don't underestimate that. When we memorize Scripture, that's another way that we're inviting Jesus to not only speak to us, but to speak through us to other people. We're inviting Him as we do that. You know, as we sing praises to Him, doing chores around the house, we're inviting Him into our homes as we worship Him. You know, as we read a Bible story to our grandkids or great-grandkids in the home, we're inviting Him to come and have conversations with us. So let's continue in verse 3. Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. You guys know what's coming. It's really good. Thank you, Lord. And He does this. He does miracles. He does miracles. When Jesus is in your home, when Jesus is abiding in your home, you know the word gets out. It does. Some people don't like it. You know, you just keep praying for Him. The word gets out, and sometimes people come looking for Jesus because He's at your place, and they look for Him there. Like these friends, they come looking for Jesus because they know He's in the home. People are drawn to the home that Jesus is in. Same thing goes for here. This is his family. This is His living room where we're gathered now. When word gets out, you know Jesus is there. People who are drawn to Him are drawn here. People knew Jesus was in this home. And His presence becomes known and draws people. You know, I think some of the people probably came just because of the crowd. There are probably people who, just out of curiosity, they're like, something's going on at Simon Peter's house. Maybe it's a cookout. Maybe there's free burgers. You know, I don't know. But there's 200 people in the yard, so let's go check it out. All these curiosity seekers are coming, and people are coming for different reasons. I think a lot of people are coming just for hope. You know, a lot of people are drawn just because they know that we've got a supernatural need for the Lord. And these things that we hear about Jesus, maybe He's what we're looking for. Maybe He's what's missing. And they're looking for Him. They're looking for God. You know, some people are coming to Him because they're held captive to things. And they need freedom. They know they need freedom. And so they're coming there to be freed from physical things that have them shackled, from spiritual things, from emotional things. And people are coming, whatever it is, looking for Jesus to set them free. But whatever the motivation, basically, you know, the bottom line, though, is they all need a touch from God. They all need hope that only can come from Him. And when Jesus is in the house, He gives that to everybody who wants it. He gives that peace and that joy and that love and that hope that can only come from God, that can't come from anywhere else. Continuing in verse 5, seeing their faith, you got to believe. seeing their faith. He said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Now, one of my prayers, I've got a lot of prayers that I repeat a lot with the Lord. Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Help me to know that you're going to answer this prayer. Help me to stand on your faithfulness. Because it's not according to, I'm not going to deserve your wonderful answer. And if it's just based on me, I'm in trouble. But he's faithful. He's faithful. And he announces forgiveness. When Christ is in our home, that's another wonderful thing he does. There's a whole lot I need his forgiveness of. And it's ongoing. Praise God, I have it. Because he's faithful and just to forgive. And there's a lot I need to forgive and not hold on to with other people. And he brings that into our home. That's one of those wonderful things as we invite Jesus into our homes to remember he's there to forgive. He's there to forgive you. He's there to forgive me. And he's there to help me to do what I can never do in my flesh, which is to forgive somebody else that needs my forgiveness, that needs me to not hold on to something. But to say, Lord, in light of your forgiveness for me, how can I hold back forgiveness from anyone? And Jesus does that when he's in the house. He announces forgiveness. It's interesting, he met this man's spiritual need before he addressed the physical need, which was obvious, which was the reason they, I'm sure, thought they were bringing their friend there. And sometimes that's how it is with us, that we need to have him deal with the spiritual before he even deals with the physical thing that we're saying, Jesus, help, show up, I've got this situation. Sometimes there's something deeper that he needs to deal with first. And Jesus knows that. In other instances that we see in Scripture, Jesus does deal with the physical thing first and then the spiritual. But he knows what's most important. Sometimes they're connected. Sometimes when we have sin that is unforsaken, that he lovingly wants us to let go of. He's not looking to bring down a hammer of judgment. He wants to set us free from that sin, and we won't forsake it. Sometimes he will allow some pain to come into our life in order to motivate us to see the truth that, oh, well, I guess that was a bad choice, Lord. You're right. I do need to forsake that. And out of his love, he does that. He helps us with that. Have you guys heard that song, Fear is a Liar? A lot of the radio stations played it. I think it's a good song. I haven't sat in judgment over it and dissected it theologically. I don't know that I need to, but that may be true, but I will tell you this, that sin in our life, sin is a thief. It is. Sin takes God's best for you, his dreams for you, the goodness that he wants to express in your life, and it creates a barrier. It creates problems. And that's why out of love for us, out of where he wants to take us in his goodness, the ways he wants to change us to be more like him, that he wants to deal with those things, and that's why he allows those painful situations in our life sometimes, because he loves us so much. He specializes in not only forgiving, but in redeeming. As he forgives, that he restores our lives, he restores our hearts, he brings healing into us. We experience his mercy, we experience his power in our lives as he deals with things. It could be the greatest need in your home, maybe today, maybe the motivator for inviting him in is that issue of forgiveness. That you just need to say, Lord, I need you to come in and forgive me of some stuff that I'm holding on to. I don't want to hold on to it. And Jesus can do that. Sometimes things we've held on to for decades. I think those old wounds sometimes are the hardest ones to forgive people for. things that, you know, we hold on to from so many years ago, and we just have a stronghold of unforgiveness there. I've been there. And we just need to say, Lord, set me free from that. Help me to be forgiven. Help me to forgive. You know, forgiveness, when it is from the Lord, it's forever. It's forever. He sets you free to be forgiven and to forgive. And when we walk in forgiveness, it helps us to experience, I think, a happier walk in every way, and even healthier in every way. Let's continue in verse 6. But some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? What is he saying? Jesus has pronounced forgiveness of sins. What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Verse 8, Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and he said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and he walked out through the stunned onlookers. He walked out through the crowd of witnesses who have seen what Jesus has done. They were all amazed, and they praised God, exclaiming, we have never seen anything like this before. We have never seen anything like this before. I need those moments in my home. I need Jesus to do things that I have never seen before, that sometimes we don't even ask because we're afraid that maybe that's too big of an ask. I want to encourage you today to pray for those things, that for him to move in such a great way in saving that relationship and saving that person and taking those thoughts away and bringing that forgiveness, whatever it is, that something I've never seen him work in that way before, but you know what? He is able. He can do it. And I'm going to pray big, and I'm going to trust him for great things, because even if I've never seen it before, he can do it today. He can do it today. If we're willing to believe, if we're willing to invite him into our home and say, God, I want the Savior more than I want that sin anymore. I want forgiveness and love to rule instead of frustrations and fears anymore. Even though I maybe have been praying for that and I've never seen it before in my home, you can do what I've never seen before. Blow us away, Lord. Amaze us. Come into our home and do a new work. I love Acts 3:16. It says, by faith in the name of Jesus, in who he is, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through Jesus, that comes through him, that has completely healed this man, as you can all see. Be bold in your home as you invite Jesus in and you pray in the name of Jesus to do something you've never seen before, to do a miracle, because he can and he will. And maybe you'll have to keep on praying for that for a season, for his timing to come about. But as he works in our families, as we invite him into our home, through everything he does, he reveals who he is to us more and more. That he is the promised one. He is the Christ. He is the Lamb of God that takes away our sins. That he is the King of Kings. And that he's Lord over everything, including all those impossible things in your life.